It's that time again on a Friday when M Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. And I'd like to welcome you to the 686th episode with Martin Creamer. Good morning.
Morning, Caesar.
Well, I understand that you say we've saved ourselves a little bit of cash because 67 billion rand, that's what the government would have had to cough up if it had decided to nationalize South Africa's mines.
Yeah, if nationalization of the mines had taken place when Julius Malema first mentioned it, we would have had a deficit in the mining game over 2009 of 67 billion. And of course, that has to be covered. So it would have, if it was state owned and state operated, that amount would have had to have come from state coffers. And it's just an example, and it's a real life example highlighted at the annual general meeting of the Chamber of Mines, of what the risks are involved in mining. It's not all reward. There's also risk, and you've got to remember it's a cyclical business. And at the moment, the cycle is up, but we were even interrupted by the global meltdown, and that led to the 67 billion rand shortfall, which thankfully has to then be covered by retained earnings by the mines themselves, and we don't have to look to the taxpayer to actually cough up for that. And we can see that if you have to continue to look at the taxpayer, there's going to be a limit to what you can do with mining, and it should be more of an infinite horizon that we have for mining so that we can grow. So to the advocates of nationalization, we say, here's a sober account of what it could cost you.
Here's the invoice. Well, fuel from coal giant Sasol is to generate 800 megawatts of its own electricity. How do they do that?
Yeah, Sasol is by 2011 will be generating 800 megawatts of its own electricity. It's just set up two open cycle gas turbines, and it will use some of the gas coming up from Mozambique. That is meant to be used to produce petrol and diesel, of course. Now they're using some of it to produce 280 megawatts of that electricity, partly by open cycle and then by combined cycle using heat that's generated as well. So we have this concern around South Africa at the moment that there will be the shortfall between 2011 and 2016, and that Eskom, as it builds these massive big power stations, is still building them before it can actually supply the additional amount. And we see that, you know, the private sector coming to the party by various initiatives, one of them by Sasol, which is going to benefit by selling some of its 800 megawatts to about 200 megawatts it'll offer back to Eskom and be given a price for it which is slightly higher than the Eskom tariff as an incentive. And they're one of the first people to have nailed this power purchase agreement down.
Well, it seems like this is becoming a trend for some of these mega organizations in South Africa where they actually do begin to find ways to provide for their own energy.
Absolutely. And if you go out to Metal Alloys out near Vereeniging there, you'll see that for a long time now they've been producing 200 megawatts of their own power, and they need that in their metal alloy business. And that has come from, you know, gas, which we don't really like, carbon monoxide, which they fire up to create that heat to produce the energy.
Great. Well, the world over, the search is on for rare earth elements, and South Africa has joined in on this rush.
That's right. You know, China supplies more than 90% of the world's rare earth elements, which are really in demand at the moment because we see them used in high-tech situations, but very much now we see them used in green situations for wind turbines and for electric cars, but even things like guided missiles and radar, etc. So now that the Chinese have cut back and said, look, no, we don't want to export all of these rare earth elements because we want to keep some of them for ourselves. Okay. We're going to need them. We see now the world scrambling for rare earth elements, and among the scramblers are South Africa, and the Canadians have come in with the South Africans in the Western Cape, and they are looking to resuscitating a mine at Steenkampskraal that was in the past owned by Anglo American and produced monazite from which you can get one of these rare earth elements. Not that all of them are rare, because one of them's cerium is about the 25th most abundant element, but we can see that the price of that has gone up sevenfold in as many months.
Ouch. Well, Martin Creamer, as you know, is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
Thanks, Caesar.